Fasten your seatbelts. The economy is still sliding.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Bob Moon. The Federal Reserve has come out with its latest assessment of the country's economic health, and as Marketplace's John Dimsdale reports, the current Beige Book report predicts some tough financial sledding this winter.
Mortgages and credit card rates are going up, even though the Fed has been trying to lower borrowing costs. That's because the subprime crisis has made banks afraid to lend. Bank of America economist Mickey Levy says that lack of lender confidence is robbing the Fed of its ability to stimulate the economy.
So it suggests that the impact of the Fed easing is going to be elongated. This time it's not going to unfold right away.
So far, at least, the economy has yet to officially enter a recession. University of Maryland economist Peter Morici says the U.S. has lost jobs for 7 straight months, and it's going to start feeling like a recession.
But it really isn't important whether we go negative. If it just gets very low, like 0.5% each quarter, that's going to be enough to make things hurt. People won't be able to get jobs, they won't be able to get a raise, they won't be able to afford to buy a new television set or get that new home.
One bright spot, falling oil prices should ease inflation, allowing the Fed to keep interest rates low for a while. In Washington, I'm John Dimsdale for Marketplace.
Wall Street will be coming off a mixed performance yesterday. The Dow tacked on 15 points, rising 0.1%. But the Nasdaq lost 0.2%, and the broader S&P 500 was down 0.2%. This morning, European markets are mixed. London's FTSE is up 0.4% at this hour. Frankfurt's DAX is down more than 1%, though. And the Paris CAC 40 has slipped 0.8%. New Orleans still isn't back to normal after Hurricane Gustav, but residents are returning. As Marketplace's Dan Gretsch reports, many simply couldn't afford to stay away.
The mandatory evacuation of New Orleans officially ended this morning. But as Chris Crom drove into the city yesterday, he got stuck in a huge traffic jam.
Lots of people were calling in to talk radio and saying, this is outrageous, we can't afford to stay another night at the Hampton Inn, and I got to get back to New Orleans.
Crom heads the Institute for Southern Studies. He says after an evacuation, the poor are often stuck in shelters. The well-to-do stay away until power is restored. He says the working class is usually first to return home.
They were already hanging by a thread, and they've been having to pay for hotel rooms, which just puts them deeper in debt or in a very precarious financial situation.
Since Katrina, New Orleans has struggled to rebuild its middle class. The city lacks affordable housing and well-paying jobs. Crom says expensive evacuations just make the problem worse. I'm Dan Gretsch for Marketplace.
Your medical costs may seem high now, but a survey today says they could get higher. That's thanks to the companies we work for. 59% of companies surveyed plan to keep costs down next year by raising our health deductibles, co-pays, or out-of-pocket spending limits.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Thrivent Financial for Lutherans, a not-for-profit financial service provider helping nearly 3 million members and their communities thrive. More at thrivent.com. And by Cleveland Clinic, working to redefine healthcare and the patient experience with the new Miller Family Pavilion and Glickman Tower. More at meetthebuildings.com.
If you've watched TV lately, maybe you've seen this ad.
I'm T. Boone Pickens. This plan will work, but it needs your help. Join me. We can take back our energy future.
The Texas oil man is betting billions of his own money, promoting his idea for reducing the country's dependence on foreign oil. He wants to create vast wind farms in the Great Plains to make electricity, and at the same time divert natural gas that's now used for generating power. We caught up with T. Boone Pickens in Minnesota, where he's been attending this week's Republican convention, and I asked him to explain his plan.
Natural gas is about 20% of our power generation, and I would replace that with wind and take the natural gas and move it to transportation fuel.
You want to shift the use of natural gas that we use now to generate electricity and use it instead for our cars?
Yes, I do.
I have to ask you, you're facing a lot of headwind, so to speak, from critics who complain that you've got a big conflict of interest here. After all, you're not only pushing wind power, but you control a natural gas company, which would greatly profit from your plan.
Well, that's an interesting question, but 80 years old, I have plenty of money. I see myself as a pioneer going out in front to do this. There's plenty of opportunity. If I'm right on the wind, you can come in on the deal, too. I mean, there's plenty of room for everybody. But second, in the last 5 years, I've given away $700 million, and my estate goes to charity. So it's not about me making money.
So you want 20% of our energy to come from wind. I just read an article that says that there are a lot of skeptical experts out there who think that this is a really tall order, given that these huge wind turbines and the power transmission lines are often opposed by communities.
Well, they're not opposed in the Great Plains of the United States. All the farmers and landowners and cities in that corridor want that.
Why choose natural gas and wind power? Why not, let's say, nuclear?
Nuclear's fine with me, too. I'm for everything American because our dependency is so huge on foreign oil. You see, we're importing 12 million barrels of oil a day. And to give you a reference point, that there's 9 million barrels a day produced by Saudi Arabia. So we have to come up with something that's going to cut that 12 million barrels a day down substantially.
Let me ask you to respond to something that Will Wilkinson of the Cato Institute said in a commentary on Marketplace the other day. Here's some of his criticism of you.
He's leaning hard on our worst nationalist impulses. What he's really saying is, why buy the things you need from dangerous foreigners when you could be paying more to buy them from rock-ribbed Americans? Like T. Boone Pickens.
It's more than me. I mean, this is about America. This isn't about Boone Pickens and whether Boone Pickens win farm makes money or whatever happens to it. But here, I mean, it was $700 billion going out of the country, and let's say that we could cut it in half. $350 billion in the United States. Can you imagine how that would multiply for jobs here? I'd much rather that $350 billion was being used here than to give some to foreign oil.
T. Boone Pickens, thank you very much for joining us. Appreciate your time.
Okay. Thank you, Bob.
Mr. Pickens has a new book out, by the way. It's called The First Billion is the Hardest. And you can hear more of our interview about the Pickens Plan at marketplace.org. I'm Bob Moon in Los Angeles. Glad to have you with us this morning.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.